Welcome to Xfinity from the Sidelines for 95.7 The Game. I'm Gianna Franco. And today, we're not talking Warriors. We're talking the other big show on television right now. It is Game of Thrones. Millions and millions of people are captivated by the show. They had their series finale this week on Sunday. And I happen to be friends with two of the biggest Game of Thrones fans, Michelle Griego from KPIX, Channel 5. You can catch her in the mornings, as well as Damon Bruce. So they're going to be on the show today, and we're going to talk nothing but Game of Thrones. So if you haven't seen the episodes, don't listen. Major spoilers.
This show was a glorious point of entertainment in my life for seven seasons. And this season, ugh.
Okay. Let's start here then, Damon. First of all, are you not satisfied with how it ended? I mean, I felt like they put a bow on everybody and you had closure with every character that you fell in love with on the show.
Let me ask you this. So we're at the final scene in what is, I guess, the Hand's meeting room, and Tyrion's the Hand, and Bran comes in and, you know, a little funny, you know, how I coined the realm, blah, 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 blah. And then he says, well, we still need a master of whisperers. Why does the guy who is the three-eyed raven need anyone to find out any secrets?
Well, there are a lot
and it's little, but it's little details like that, Gianna. This doesn't make any. The way that it ended only makes sense is if you don't think about anything that happened before this season started. You realize that Brand is the only character that missed an entire season on screen. You do realize that, right? He's the only character who missed an entire season on screen who's introduced as a major character, and then the show pivoted away from him so much, he wasn't a part of, like, season two or three, wherever it was. In the Battle of Winterfell, you know, why is the Night King coming for him? Like, he says, well, it's because I am the world's memory, because I'm the three-eyed raven. Well, isn't the three-eyed raven more important than any king then? And let me ask you, if the three-eyed raven is the world's memory, how come the last three-eyed raven lived under a tree so far north of the wall that he was in complete isolation and only the forest children knew where he was? You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any sense that it's him. Did he know? What could he have done to help this? Why didn't he tell John about it? Why didn't he tell John more about Danny's? Why did John get accused of killing Danny? Who saw him do it? There was nobody.
That was one thing I will say, that I had that moment too. I was like, how does he go to jail? But you know what I think it is? I think John just confesses, because that's who Jon Snow is. I think that's implied, because that's who he is. And he's like, okay, I killed Danny. And he tells everybody else. What I want to know is, why is Grey Worm now like the head of everything that Daenerys had, because he's the head of the army? I don't know. There's definitely some questions, Damon, for sure. The Bran storyline.
And if you're telling me that Bran's the right guy because he'll officially break the wheel because he can't have children, well, Varys couldn't have had children. That didn't qualify him to be king, because, of course, Daenerys burned him to death the episode before. And everything she did, every action she took, everything that she said and turned around and gave a speech to from the staircase steps, just flew in the face of everything she talked about and stood for in seven seasons. I mean, it really did this whole, well, oh, we told you she might go crazy, and whoop, she went crazy. They spent more time showing Arya pet a white horse than they did examining her descent in the madness or the ramifications of it. Where did the dragon take the body? You know, at the end, this pissed me off. At the small council meeting, Bran's like, you know, maybe I'll warg and find out where the dragon is. Well, why don't you do that? Because we got a pissed off dragon flying around the world carrying his dead mother. Like, that could be an issue. We might want to address that. But I guess, you know, us as viewers, screw us. We'll never know.
Oh, my God. This is why I miss Damon.
And seriously, so Jon Snow goes off to live north of the wall as a hippie with Thormund now? That's it?
Okay, that bothers
me. Like, why can't he be Sansa's hand of the king? Why can't he go? And seriously, does Sansa deserve to rule anything? What did she do in the entire series besides send one raven to the Eyrie to get the Knights of the Vale to come save Jon at the Battle of the Bastards? But ultimately, beyond that, what was she beyond a victim and a little girl, the whole damn thing. And she's now cool to be queen. Like, I mean, come on. And Arya's just going to go travel the world. Why can't Bran just warg and tell her what's west of Westeros? Like, you got a guy who can answer everything.
And why aren't we getting answers from him if he can answer everything? My question is, well, did Bran know he was going to be king all along? If he did, then why do we have to go through all of this to get to this point? That was one thing that stuck out
to
me.
And Gianna, the entire show's vehicle is built around these families warring to fill the vacuum of power. With Dany Targaryen dead and everyone agreeing at that round table meeting that they did in the stadium that, you know, oh, now we're going to let a guy who's been arrested and in shackles. First of all, oh, don't even get me going here. See, you got Tyrion giving a speech about how the most powerful thing in the world is a story. How ironic that as Game of Thrones got so far away from a story as possible, he's giving that the speech in the final episode. So the most powerful thing in the world is a story, he's telling everybody. And like Bran knows every story, could tell every story, knows the beginning and the end and middle of everything, but he never says a word. His character has ceased to exist. He says, look, I'm no longer even Bran. I'm the three-eyed raven, but it's my destiny that brought me here. I mean, it's just lazy. It's lazy. The show deserved, I think, so much better, Gianna. It doesn't explain any of the actions.
So who
so many seasons were built around.
So who should have been sitting on the Iron Throne at the end? I mean, did you like how the dragon at least burnt down the Iron Throne? It's like a fresh start and trying to reset, you know, how the world looks at, you know, this monarchy and so forth from this point forward.
Right, or and Bran's been sitting on the real Iron Throne all along. Blah blah blah. Dun dun dun. Is it just me or did Sam come by and put down a book called, oh, look, I found this book. It's called Song of Fire and Ice. Like, did that really happen? Is this the part in the movie where they're like, oh, I think they just said Back to the Future and we're watching the movie Back to the Future. And I like that. Are you freaking kidding me?
I thought of it as product placement to go buy the book and read the book. That's what
you're probably right. And maybe it was a product placement for the Dasani water bottle and the Starbucks cup. It's just a lack of attention to detail and a lack of really thinking backwards to plot points and how they came together at this point. Like, the way that it ended, sure, that's a data point that if you just look at it for the data point of this one episode, I guess you could say it was satisfying and dramatic. The entire episode, Gianna, I was saying, get to it. Talk more. I don't need to see a grieving Tyrion over Cersei and Jaime. I don't need to see a 35-second zoom out on his face. I don't need to see everybody walk through, the King's Landing covered in soot for another 20 minutes. It was bad. I get it. We have things to get to. Chop, chop. You know what I mean? And I just thought it was lazy. The burning down of the Iron Throne, that was cool. Okay, I'll give you that. The other thing that I'll give you, the shot where Dany is standing at the top of the steps she's in front of the dragon and it unfurls his wings and it looks like her wings. Great, great, great. But let me ask you about this. Remember when Jon Snow was walking to that and he passes Grey Worm and Grey Worm is literally killing his prisoners? He's the one slicing their throats?
Yeah, I remember that part.
Remember that? Okay, yeah. So you see that because John leads that scene because he's going to Dany, and Grey Worm is behind him killing, executing prisoners. John gets to the steps, gets halfway up the steps, and who's there waiting for him? Grey Worm.
Definitely. Well, and right at the end of that whole scene, Arya all of a sudden pops up on stage where John is, out of the blue, passes every single guard without question, and gets close to where the queen was. I thought that was a little funky, too. There was definitely some, you know, movie magic license that they took, you know, that just their own creative, quote-unquote, ways of making things happen. There were some issues for that, for continuity issues, no question.
But that is such a betrayal of the 6-7 seasons of excellence that were put in front of us, where it made you so interested in the complete storytelling that you went back to examine unnecessary details because George R.R. Martin had provided them with a 1,000-year-long backstory that was more detail-driven than the actual story that we're telling. I mean, the richness of detail that defined the series, I think, escaped the series dramatically in the last two episodes.
Well, they didn't have the guideline, and I think that's what hurt the final season, is they had, you know, every season before, maybe not 100% for season 7, but they had some sort of a guideline by the books. Like, they didn't always follow along every character in the book as it should have been because they wanted to make the show interesting for fans of the book as well. But
right,
they didn't
and
have the
here's
guideline.
The thing, I don't,
so
right, but
that.
I don't care about the books. I don't care about the books, and they should have done better paying homage to the story that they were telling, not what's the quickest way we can wrap this up in the cleanest possible way. And I just thought that that's where the show really missed the mark in the way that it ended. Now, I got to say, because I'm coming across as like a bitter Game of Thrones fan here, I love this show.
I
mean, I was so emotionally worked up about it because I cared that much about it. And so I give the show full credit for being such an excellent source of entertainment that I truly enjoyed. But I just felt that the show lost its compass so dramatically at the end that it really does disservice to how much I cared about it all in the first place. Like, silly me, it was just a TV show, you know? I don't know. I just thought it got sloppy at the end, and that fans seem to care more about getting it right than the makers of the show. And that's just wrong. I mean, people care too much.
Well, I think that's what it is.
I know that we live in a society where no one's happy unless they're complaining. But no one was really complaining after the Battle of Winterfell. You know, that was a hell of an episode, and we all agreed like that was awesome because it got back to all the doom and gloom and the real nastiness that this show kind of had for us, and then a little surprise at the end. Where it feels like they took the easy way out. That's the way it feels. Like, the more interesting story to tell would be, all right, John, Danny, the two of you got to figure it out together, and you're going to have to cohabitate, which is, I mean, isn't the reason why she left, you know, her, what was the name of her boy toy that you like so much?
God, what was his name? Yeah, no,
he left
back in season 6.
Daharius, yeah. Or whatever his damn name was. Again, she said, look, I'm going to have to leave you behind here in Astropool or wherever that's at, Marine. You know, I'm going to have to leave you behind because I'm going to have to go forward and marry into an alliance. Why couldn't she find that alliance with her and Jon Snow? Like, there's so much more of an interesting story to tell about them trying to restore order to the realm than just like, oh, no, as soon as they started ringing the bells of peace, she turned into a homicidal maniac. She killed 1 million people. And instead of bringing justice to the world and liberating city after city, what she really wants to do is be a conqueror and burn it all down. And you either bend the knee before her or you're her enemy. And that's all she is. And this nuanced, really developed character is now Charles Manson.
I think the thing with, though, Danny and John is it would not have been accepted in the North, and John is a product of the North. He lives and dies by the North, of him marrying his aunt. And I know in the Targaryen family, you marry brothers and sisters, which is why they all go crazy. But I will give this, like, when you think back of what Tyrion said at the end there and how he sort of says, you know, well, she killed all these people, but we loved her for it because they were bad men. Like, there was a storyline building that she was going to go crazy. And, you know, it sort of all comes to fruition in that, you know, final, you know, season, this season, but in episode 5, which I hated episode 5, by the way. Cersei, the fact that she got to die with Jaime and, like, romantically like that, screw that. She should have been tortured and pulled apart, I mean, waterboarded, whatever, for all the bad things she's done. So that bothered me, first of all. But I think it would have been very hard for John to accept the fact that he was going to marry his aunt, but he did love her. And honestly, Damon, if they had either put John, if they had allowed John and Danny to get married and rule Westeros together, it would have been way too fairy tale for Game of Thrones. If John was going to sit on the throne or Danny was going to sit on the throne, way too fairy tale. So I think the fact that neither of them got to made sense. Would I have chosen Bran? Probably not, because there's so many holes in his storyline that I can't quite put together. Like, why is he the three-eyed raven? Like, why him? Because he fell out a window? I don't get that. Like, that's there. I don't think we ever realize or learn why he's chosen as a three-eyed raven.
Right. Or, you know, he's not the only character that could warg. Does, you know, being a warger qualify you to be a three-eyed candidate? Like, you know, in order to be three-eyed candidate, must have degree in warging. I don't know. Again, a character that we know the least about that really was developed and had his personality almost intentionally taken away from him by a writing team that I guess thought that that would be an easier way to do it.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I just, the whole thing leaves me, like, I feel like this is, why tell such a complex story to reach such a rudimentary, random selection? I mean, Bran was all about, I'm not even a Bran anymore. I'm the three-eyed raven. I'm not even a person anymore. So why would he even care about who's king?
Yeah, and I mean,
or if he really did, couldn't he have done things and made choices and statements along the way, knowing this, that would have made it easier on everyone around him? I don't know. You can tell we're off book. You can tell that the genius that began this conversation wasn't there for the ending.
It wasn't. And this was my least favorite season, no question. But I do.
Oh, bar none.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No question. Like, I do love the fact, though, that we did get closure. Like, the one thing I told Pete while we were watching this was, if they make every single character open-ended where we're like, oh, so it's implied that this happens, I'm going to be pissed. Because we're not getting another Game of Thrones series. We're going to get the prequel. Okay, fine. But that's dated and going to be set 1,500 years before this Westeros that we watched for the last 8 years that I fell in love with. I mean, like, I swear, like, every Sunday it was my time to watch mini Game of Thrones movies. Like, I loved the show. I loved it. And I feel like we got closure, which I'm kind of okay with that part. I might not like the storylines where they went, but I like the closure.
I have no closure on Jon Snow. I have him walking off into the woods.
Yes,
Arya is sailing away under the Stark banner to who only knows where. Is she going to be a cruel person? Is she going to be a good person? Is she going to murder for good or evil? Is she, I mean, who knows? We don't know at all. Sansa is now officially in charge of nothing. Like, now that, you know, what the wall doesn't matter anymore. There is no threat of the army of the dead. So Winterfell doesn't even matter strategically throughout the entire kingdom anymore. I don't know, man. I used to care an awful lot about this show. And then in that episode of The Bells where they just were like, oh, so yeah, we've been hinting that Danny might be a little nuts, but I mean, who in this show hasn't been hinted as a little nuts? Everyone kills in this show. You know, we're just going to have her burn the entire city down, and you know, the Liberator is going to become a mass murderer, and that's going to change the whole thing. And yeah, that's how it all goes. And I just, to me, I didn't care anymore about the characters, so I'm just happy it's over. Like, I'm glad I got my Sunday night back now, because it really did. It just left such a sour taste in my mouth that, I don't know. I mean, would I turn around and now passionately recommend the series to anyone? No.
Really? You can't? After just one
season? No. Knowing where it went, knowing how unsatisfied I was at the end, I wouldn't suggest anybody get this emotionally involved in characters that seem like there's going to be a spectacular ending, and then instead of the spectacular ending, it turns into a freaking Lifetime movie award. I mean, seriously, it feels like, you know, Meredith Baxter Burney should have been in the last season of this.
Or Candace
Cameron. the most interesting character and villain in the whole series is Cersei. Let me ask you, what's Cersei do in the final season?
Yeah, no, well, she tried to...
Besides sit in a window. What did Cersei do? Nothing. The most interesting villain sat out. The most penultimate should have been interesting things. And eventually, her and her brother die due to a retrofitting issue.
So you were just as disappointed how she went out as I was then, right? I thought her death was ridiculously stupid.
Absolutely. You got the Clegane Bowl. So you telling me that the Mountain is officially harder to kill than the Night King?
Yeah.
Like, that was so stupid. Gianna is so stupid. Come on.
Didn't you like how the Hound died, though? His biggest fear was fire, and he chose to, like, jump off a building holding his brother and fall into just a ball of fire. I thought that part was cool.
Yeah.
Was very cool. That came full circle because it's his... You know, that's the biggest fear he's ever had in his life, but he wanted to kill his brother more. So I thought, okay, that was cool. I mean, there were plenty of holes in this final season, no question, Damon. My one thing, though, I will say, like, I am not good with Jon going to the Night's Watch. That really disappointed me. I was okay with Sansa being queen. I disagree with you there. I think she earned it. I think she took.
What are they watching? What is the Night Watch watching?
Well, that's the thing. But there's no more Night King. So I think, in a way, how I look at it is Jon is like, all right, yeah, I'll go to the Night's Watch, whatever. I'll be commander, whatever. But I'm going to be on the other side of the wall, hanging out with my wildling friends and finding my next Ygritte. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Jon's just screw it. I'm headed over north of the wall with my people who really accept me, and just kind of go there. So I feel like Jon didn't get any sort of... He saved the world I don't know how many times. And he's go to the Night's Watch. What?
And his brother Bran is now the ruler of all of it. And what, to just make Grey Worm, like a guy who pokes other people with spears, feel like he got a good deal, they're going to send Jon to an unknown existence? That's like, just so stupid. Like, why didn't Bran say, no, I'm the king? He gets to go with Sansa to Winterfell.
He said that when he chose Tyrion as his hand of the king, and Grey Worm threw a fit about it. He was like, but I make that decision. He's going to make up for every mistake he ever made. He is going to be my hand of the king. When does, like, how does Grey Worm become more powerful and gets to decide the fate of Jon? Because he was Daenerys's commander dude? Come on. He's Westeros born. Jon is from there. Grey Worm's just going to get on a boat and go back to, you know, his area, or go back to, Narnia for all I care. But it was just, I don't know. There was a few holes, but I would say this. If someone asked me to watch the show or if I would recommend it, I would. Because I think 7 seasons were so worth it. You just have to be prepared to kind of be like, for the final season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I'd say. I'd be like, yeah, you know, check out the show, but its ending is going to ring hollow. At least it did for me. And I think everyone who really got the show is dissatisfied with the way it ended. And we're not dissatisfied because America's hard to please. We're dissatisfied because we paid such close attention that we know when something doesn't fit. And the way that this ended doesn't quite fit. Everyone knows it. Anyone who wants to, most people are complaining about it, and anyone who's in denial is just a straight-up fanboy who wants to sound more interesting or more illuminating. If you really like this show, you know that it was betrayed in some way in this final season. That's the only thing I can say. You know it. You know it in your heart.
It was. There's definitely, I will not completely disagree with that. There's no question this final season was probably the worst of all 8 seasons. And again, like I put it out on Twitter. I was like, I'm not totally unsatisfied, but I'm not satisfied either. Like there were definitely things that could have been better and changed, and I would have done it differently. But again, I got closure. Maybe there's an argument.
You know what would have been a better ending? You know what would have been a better ending? Is if at the very end, Ned Stark sat up in bed and turned to his wife and was like, oh, it was just all a dream.
He'd have to come out of the shower.
Yeah, Bob Newhart ending. Yeah. Bob Newhart ending.
Like in Dallas. Or Bob, yeah. That, I mean, sure. That would have been pretty funny. Or you could have seen zombie Ned Stark or zombie Lyanna Stark in episode, 2 or 3 with the Winterfell battle when they're all coming out of the crypt. I mean, it is such a beautifully shot show, too. Like, there were some moments of just gorgeous cinematography, too. It's so hard not to love as much of it as you can. But when you're so invested in the storyline, you do get a little disappointed. I will say this. My friend Michelle brought up a very good point. She's you've met Michelle. She's the anchor at Channel 5. She's a big diehard Game of Thrones fan like we are. And she brought up a very good point. Do you think the when Jon Snow kills Daenerys, do you think that she should have said something after that, or the fact that she just kind of dies in his arms and that's that? I feel like the most dramatic part was to see the dragon take down the Iron Throne, or you know, and then pick her up with his claw and carry her off. I thought that was actually kind of
right,
beautiful.
And it was literally like cute when he was nudging her, like you know, like is it, you know, are you okay? It was sad, but again, I'd really like to know what happened there. We have a pissed off dragon flying around the world now. And it doesn't really have a home because it was never, you know, it didn't come from one place. It's always been quite a vagabond. It's like a journeyman. It's like the Edwin Jackson of dragons, you know, is pitched for everybody. So, you know, what's going to happen now? Just going to start burning things randomly throughout the world? Again, maybe Bran will find out. Maybe he won't. We'll never know. Screw you from HBO.
I think the dragon should have ended up with Jon. I think he should have gone to the Night's Watch with Jon, or gone north of the Wall, because he obviously knew.
I thought Dragon was going to climb up on top of him and declare himself the new king. I did for a second there, and I thought, all right, now we got something. But nah, didn't happen. Here's what I love about the show: it was great water cooler Monday fodder. It brought you and I together every Monday with something to talk about that wasn't just first downs and touchdowns and things like that. We definitely became better friends due to this show. So for that, I'll forever be thankful, Gianna.
That we bonded over Game of Thrones. We need a new
show
now. We need a new show. I'm going to have to dive in and try to find a new one. Maybe The Watchmen will be the one. We'll see how that starts off.
There's some new interesting looking stuff coming up on HBO. So they always got something good around the corner. I was a huge fan of Deadwood, and
I can't wait
to see the Deadwood movie.
I know. That's going to be good. I think they'll do a good job with that. They had some great characters there, too. What was his name?
So the best show on TV is back to being the Golden State Warriors.
No doubt. No doubt. How's everything going? Being at Oracle and stuff, are you kind of just – are you at all, like, disappointed in this whole Portland Warriors series?
No, I mean, they're about to. It's a little anticlimactic because I think the Warriors finish off the sweep, but it's exactly what they needed as they hope to get healthier for the next round. They could have a nice 9-10 day layoff here as they get ready for the NBA Finals, and that's just what the doctor ordered. So everything's going according to plan, and it looks like there will be another parade around Lake Merritt before it's all said and done. Hopefully this ends a lot better than Game of Thrones did.
Hopefully. I hope it does too, Damon. I hope it does too. Well, I'm glad at least we got to do this. Since we didn't get to do any
post-Game
of Thrones, we got to at least have a good half-hour recap of the show. And
we miss you. We miss you so much at the station. We're so happy that you're doing well and that Falcon has a beautiful baby brother now.
Aww.
In little Zeppelito.
Zeppelito.
And so you give Pete my very best, and it was so good to catch up with you, and we can't wait to see you again soon. Mwah. Love you.
Sounds good, Damon. Thank
you. And you will always be. You will always be the mother of Falcons.
Oh, yes, I will. Michelle, first things first, are you satisfied with how the show ended?
I might be in the minority, but I am. I actually am.
Okay.
I think this last episode kind of redeemed the whole season, because I was a little disappointed with the way things were going. I still don't understand why they did it in 6 episodes, because I would have liked to see it play out a little bit longer. But this last episode, I bought what happened. So we can talk about it, right?
No, yeah, 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 yeah. Totally.
Everyone knows we're going to do these photos. Okay. So I thought Jon would kill Daenerys, but I had to be able to believe it. And I think they made me believe it. I saw the transition from him loving her, and I believe he still loved her when he stabbed her. But the transition from, okay, I need to get rid of her. And so I totally bought that. Bran, I wasn't completely sold on him being king, but I did go back and watch it again. So, it made sense because of Tyrion's speech. Just talking about Bran with all of this knowledge. And I love the fact that Sansa spoke up and said, you know, Bran can't have any heirs. And Tyrion said, good, because we've seen what can happen when it comes to that. And to me, it just made sense for some reason. So I really think they did a good job on this last episode. And I wasn't so mad about the rest of the season. After watching it.
I will agree with that. I didn't feel totally unsatisfied, but I wasn't 100% satisfied. I think my only biggest issue is, well first, a positive. We got closure. I love yes. shows that give you closure. The Sopranos was one of my favorite TV shows back in the day. And till this day, like, that last episode goes down in history because of how they ended it, which was phenomenal and genius how they did it, because we're all still wondering, did Tony get shot in the end? Was that?
Right.
Because it just goes to black and then the music starts playing. But here you truly got closure, and you actually got a little bit of maybe the possibility of an Arya spinoff, which I know everyone's really interested and wants to see happen. My only major issue is I was not totally stoked at Jon going back to the Night's Watch. I felt like in this whole series, the growth he's had as a person, the fact that he's basically saved the world, I don't know, 10,000 times. He's so good morally and has just, you know, has a good moral compass, has the right intentions. Like, why are you putting him back on the Night's Watch? The Night King is gone. Like, what's to protect at this point? I love the fact that he's letting the wildlings back into their homeland and he's basically leading them home. But I'm like, okay, that's it for Jon Snow. He's back at the Night's Watch. Granted, he murdered the queen, but it needed to be done.
But do you think that that leaves it open too? Because for me, that's where he feels the most comfortable, is with the wildlings. So do you think that kind of leaves it up in the air as whether he's going to go be a wildling with them? Because remember when Tormund told him, what did he tell him? He said something like, you are part of us, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he loved being, is with them. And the fact that we saw him go with them, will he go back to the Night's Watch? I mean, really, what is there to do?
That's
all of the White Walkers and everybody's dead.
Yeah.
So just go be a wildling with your peeps.
Which is possible. And maybe he'll, you know, but it's the whole thing of you'll never own land. You'll never father children. You'll never marry, all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I think it's good that he'll, I mean, obviously having John. One thing I did like is having all the Stark children, you know, getting one redemption for what happened with their family. And number two, always, trying to do the right thing for the people. Like, you felt good about Bran becoming king. You felt good about Sansa keeping the North independent, which I, kudos to her. And then Arya off on her adventure. You felt good about those things. And you felt good that Jon Snow was still in a place of power, so to speak, as the commander of the Night's Watch. But I don't know. That's the one thing that I was like, really? I didn't expect the whole Dany thing to work out after episode 5, which I hated, by the way, which was the worst episode Game of Thrones has ever made.
it was a little rough.
she went crazy, just like her dad. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Which was a little bit hard.
It's something that power, that we've seen, you know, power can do to you. It can make you crazy like that. And for her, it was, you know, we saw glimpses of it throughout the series, and then it just really, really got to her, and it corrupted her. It corrupted her thinking. And so John saw that, and that's why he agreed with Tyrion. You could see it in his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
He agreed with Tyrion. We're like, I have to get rid of her now. When she said, I'll make the people believe it. He's like, yeah, this chick's not stopping at anything. I got emotional.
Did you meet? Oh, I cried.
I totally cried. These are the parts. Where did you cry? Because I cried at the part where, first of all, Peter Dinklage deserves an Emmy.
Big time.
Another one for Game of Thrones, because he is such a good actor. And the fact that the writers, the producers, did allow a little bit of time as he's walking through all of the destruction and seeing what Daenerys did. And you know where he's going. He's going to find his brother. And finally, when he sees that golden hand, it just made me so sad, because he had this deep, authentic love for his brother. I think he even loved his sister, too. Even though, you know, she's trying to kill him. But I don't think she would have ever killed him, because there were many opportunities for her to kill him, and she never offed him. But anyway, when he found the bodies that made me really sad because, for him, because obviously, you know, his family was gone, and especially his brother, who he loved. Then the other part was when John did say goodbye to his siblings, because you felt like this was going to be the last of all of them together. And I don't know, there was just so much love there. And then I got emotional when Brienne was writing in the book about Jamie. Because I don't know about you, but this has been the most disappointing thing for me this season, is Jamie's character arc. Like, why make him into a good person and then he goes back to Cersei? That was my big question. Like, why does he go back to her when, you know, he just worked on so much of his character and himself, and he actually, you know, was a good person. But then Brienne kind of brought it home when she was writing about him, because he was a good person. There was honor with him. And the last line she said, he died protecting his queen. Mm-hmm. That's honorable. It was his queen. It was his sister. It was his lover. It was the love of his life. And he did die protecting her, and he did not have to. He could have just escaped. He could have just gone after Tyrion freed him. But he went back. And even when he saw that things were crumbling around and that she was probably going to end up dead, he still tried to get her. So I got emotional with that.
I totally agree with you with, you know, Tyrion, when he found his family, when he found Jaime and Cersei there together in the rubble. I still have issue with how Cersei went out, because I feel like she did so many bad things to so many people, and that she still gets to have this like romantic death with her, you know, the love of her life, which was her brother. That was a little bothersome to me, because I feel like she didn't get what she deserved. But I mean, I guess she doesn't get to live and be, you know, she did have, they were, you know, supposedly going to have another kid. I don't know. But that did break my heart, because I do agree with you. I think there was a lot of love for his sister, regardless of all the things she did to him. But she, in the end, she respected Tyrion. And I think when it all came down to it, it was still her brother, and she knew that. And it was her family, and Lannisters were all about family. So I did. That broke my heart. The ending, when all the Stark kids were just walking to, you know, saying goodbye and walking to their futures and to where they were going to be, you know, my husband looked over at me. He's like, are you seriously getting emotional? It's like, yes, this is it. The Stark kids like prevailed. They're still there. And we know that John's a true Stark too, because of his mom and all that kind of stuff. I had all the feels too. The Brienne part, writing about Jamie, I thought was awesome. I thought that was so big of her to tell Jamie's story, and that last line said everything. It gave me chills. Like, I could feel the goosebumps. I thought, oh my God, this is so good. But one other part that kind of gave me like that like knot in my throat was the dragon, Drogon, when he like picks up Daenerys with his claw and carries her off, burning down the Iron Throne, because that's what drove her. It's like he understood, and he didn't want to, and he wouldn't kill Jon, knowing that he obviously understood that her death was his, was by his hand, but he didn't want to kill Jon, because I think he knew. I don't know. I think somehow the dragon had that insight about like she was turning mad, or she was not doing the right thing. He was doing things for her, but not good things. I don't know. I felt that sense that the dragon understood. And because Jon's a Targaryen, like, he's not going to kill his people. So I thought that was pretty cool. I would have liked to have seen the dragon go to the Night's Watch with Jon. That would have been pretty cool. But I'm glad Ghost was there. That was a good sign.
Oh, me too. Oh, I loved it when he finally hugged Ghost. Because remember, that was like the thing on social media, big uproar about him not saying goodbye to Ghost, and what's up with that? Well, that's why.
Yeah.
He just reunited with him. He finally got the hug in. Okay, people, quit complaining about it.
I know. Like, of all things. Of all things.
I know, right?
And he lost an ear. Poor Ghost. He's down an ear, but he's still cute.
He's still cute, and he's still going to protect John no matter what. So we love it. The dragon did get to me too, and it just makes you think about how they were smart. I mean, those dragons knew, because even earlier in the season, remember how the dragons would look at Jon, and we already knew what his lineage was.
Yep.
But he didn't, and the dragon looked at him like, "Yeah, I know who you are," and he had like a special relationship with them. Even when the cinematography was amazing.
Oh, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. When he was like in cover, was it ash? He was covered in ash, the dragon, remember? And then Jon went up because he was wanting to, that's when he went up to Daenerys. And the dragon just came out of the ashes. and looked at him and basically was like, oh yeah, you can go.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. It was, it was so unexpected too. I was like, whoa, that's a berry dragon. That's nuts. Mm-hmm.
That was cool. Did you think though he was going to like burn up John? Cause it looked pretty close that he wanted to do it.
I think when he saw, you know, when he realized that Daenerys was dead, because he obviously sensed it, that's why he came up there. I thought for a second, I was like, oh my God, that's how John's going to go out. But it wouldn't have bothered me because I felt like, okay, well, it's her dragon. Of course he's going to protect her. I did like though, how they switched that up and made it so you felt like the dragon knew better, even so, like, you know, knew better than his queen did, because she obviously was drunk with power and going a little crazy, as the Targaryens do, because they're all inbred. Just my opinion. So you did get that sense that he just, you know, I think he just, you know, even the dragons want a better world, and he's the last of his kind, which I felt like, oh man, I kind of, you know, wish there was still some sort of, I don't know, there's still something there with the dragon towards the end, but it was good. The ending was very satisfying. I did like the council, how they were deciding, you know, the democracy, and Sam Tarly getting up and be like, hey, maybe we should let the people vote on things, and how they want to change things. I thought that was very cool. Yara just needs to stop talking to the Iron.
Yeah.
Because she basically bailed on Daenerys anyway. She's like, but I stand by my queen. Like, you didn't even show up for battle.
Yeah, exactly. Bye. You ran away, actually.
Yeah.
When Theon said, you know, I'm going to go over here and fight, and you left. Well, I thought it was hilarious, and it did show the power Sansa has, and I just love seeing her character flourish into, like, this hardcore ruler. Like, she's not taking any crap from anybody. But I thought it was hilarious when her uncle stood up.
Oh yeah.
Kind of like wanting to talk about maybe he should be the king. And she's like, uncle, sit down.
That was the best. She's like, it's a new ball game. Sit down.
Yeah. Sit down. And then after, you know, after everyone votes, for Bran to become king, and she's like, yeah, but the North is not going to be a part of this. It's going to be independent. And Bran's just like, okay.
He's like, okay, sister, I got it. And then Tyrion with his whole speech, Bran the Broken, first of his name, protector of the Six Kingdoms. That was pretty good.
I love it. I love it. You know, one thing that people were talking about today, because, you know, I've been talking about this all night and all morning, is, you know, people were disappointed because they said, what is the purpose of Bran being the Three-Eyed Raven? And what's the purpose of, you know, Jon getting to being a Targaryen? Because it seems like it's all for nothing, but I kind of think it does all fall into place. The reason is because, so Bran was the Three-Eyed Raven. I don't know exactly what he did with that. I mean, he did lure the Night King to the tree so that Arya was able to kill the Night King. So that was good. And then he became the king, and he's going to be a good king because of it. And like Tyrion said, he's the one with the stories. He can see the past, the present, the future. So he's going to be like basically the recorder of history. So I think that's the reason why he became the Three-Eyed Raven. And I think Jon's lineage was important because that drove a wedge between he and Daenerys, which led to all of this happening, even though they did love each other. But it still had that wedge where he was always going to be a threat to her. And he saw that. He saw that in her eyes. Not to mention, you know, he saw what she's capable of and the destruction. But he knew that could totally happen to him at a moment's notice, even if she loved him or not. Because he was a threat.
Of course.
Because he is the rightful heir. Yeah.
Right.
So I think that was all for something.
I think so. I mean, I agree. I can definitely see that. I think had we not found out his true lineage, we would have never... Even, you know, I don't think anyone would have thought of him as being, you know, or anyone would have thought of him as being a threat to Daenerys at that point. And if she never had that threat, then maybe things might have been a little bit differently. And if he didn't know who he was, then maybe he wouldn't have felt confident in making that decision to take her down. Because I think I think with Jon, he realized his responsibility is much more than just, you know, being a great soldier. It's really being a person of who he is and who, you know, for his family and being a Stark and being a Targaryen. I think he really values his name because he never had one. And I think him knowing that gave it like empowered him a little bit to take her out, because that's not Jon's style. Jon doesn't just randomly decide to, you know, kill people. He let the Red Witch go, Melisandre, you know, when she, when the Onion Knight, when Davos said that she killed Shireen Baratheon, you know, Jon let her go. Like, he has a lot of compassion. So to kill Daenerys took a lot out of him. I think that was a huge, crazy decision on his part, but he knew it needed to be done. But right. I think he felt empowered because of who he was. And it just, you know, it's part of his family. And he's, you know, family was very, very important to him because obviously he's not Ned Stark's son, but he still considers Arya, Sansa, and Bran his sisters and brothers.
Right. See, I think the thing I have the issue with is all of these little things, like Arya riding off on that white horse at the end of...
Where'd she go?
Episode 5. Where did she go and where did the horse go? Right? I mean, you leave us with these questions and then that's how people get all these theories. Not to mention, how long do we have to wait from season 5, or I'm sorry, season 7 to season 8? Mm-hmm. A long time. So here I am in that, what, year and a half, 2 years, reading all of these theories and they're like deep theories, conspiracy theories about what's going on. And then you get to the season and it's like, okay, things aren't that deep, I guess. And I think that's why so many people got disappointed. I tell my daughter this and my daughter's like, Mom, don't blame the viewer. It's the writers. Don't blame the viewer. But I think we did have these expectations because we have been waiting so long for it and I've been reading all of these theories. So then even at the end of episode 5, when Arya's like riding off, is it, you know, is she really dead? And maybe she's on like the horse of death or the pale horse or like, what is all this? And then she's going to like just go be an assassin somewhere and go do this and go do that. And then it all just like, they don't explain that kind of stuff. So they have these little things and then they just don't explain it. That's the only problem I have with them. And that's why I wish they would have at least gone 10 episodes where they could like sort of dive into that. But other than that, I mean, I'm not dissatisfied. It was great.
It was great. Didn't it not creep you out though when all of a sudden Arya was like standing next to Jon, right?
She's like a little ghost.
She came out of nowhere. I'm all, oh, that was quick. She made it all the way from the very, very back with all the behind the Unsullied and the Dothraki, and like just all of a sudden she's like right there next to Jon out of the blue.
She's a total ghost. Well, what's hilarious is I was talking to my daughter about this and she said, oh yeah, that's not even realistic. And that she made it up there so quick. And I just don't understand. They're just not being realistic about this. I'm like, you're talking about a show that has dragons, that somebody died and came back from the dead, that has a red witch who's like thousands of years old. And then, you know, she takes off her necklace and she dies. Like, what are you looking for here?
It's not going to necessarily be realistic. Maybe there is some mythical powers too, Arya. Well, yeah, just like, you know, it takes 700, you know, miles to go from, you know, the north basically to King's Landing and they get there in like a day. I mean,
right.
There's some movie magic, you know, there's some leeway you get when you make these kind of shows and stuff. But yeah, no, it's definitely there. You do have those moments there where you're like, really? Okay, well, I'll just let it go because it's the Game of Thrones. I did love it. I'm sad to see it go. It was truly one of my favorite shows that was ever on television. I'll watch it again. I rewatched the whole series before this final series just to make sure I didn't miss a beat. I've read most of the books. I have one more to go before I get to the one that's not even out yet. So I'm hoping you get a little more clarity in the final book, you know, with what happens at the end, since we sort of see how the writers chose to do it. We'll see how George R. Martin. Yeah. How he decides to do it. So I think that's kind of a cool, you still have that, you know, window to kind of peek into, which I'm excited about. But there is a prequel coming out from HBO that's going to be set like 1500 years before all of this happened.
Okay, so then we're not going to, I mean, there are not going to be any Starks or...
Nope.
Any
well,
of that. Okay.
It's going to feature, I forget the guy's name, but there is that the guy who basically built Winterfell and the very first Stark. It's going to have him as a character. I know Naomi Watts is going to play one of the characters in it. I think Natasha Richardson is in it as well. Wait, is that her?
No, she's not alive.
She's not. There's someone else that's in it, Michelle.
Not Natasha Richardson.
No, that's. I was like, wait, that's not her. She's, yeah. Rest in peace, Natasha.
Rest in peace, Natasha.
There's someone, God, Natasha, God, I got to look it up. But there's another really well-known.
Is it Lyon? Natasha Lyon?
Maybe. Yeah. There's another well-known actress who's going to be in it as well. So there's, with the prequel, there's going to be a lot of really cool things of kind of how the whole Westeros came about. They're going to dive into like the first, you know, how the White Walkers began, the what are those kids called? The tree kids?
The children of the forest.
Children of the forest. They're going to dive into that as well. So we still have some Game of Thrones ahead of us, but it won't be the beloved characters that we've grown to love.
Okay. So then this makes sense because I don't know what this prequel was going to be about, because that was a big complaint this season is not explaining certain things. Like, what the heck is the symbol for at the start of the show and then at the start of this season when the Night Walkers get the bodies,
mm-hmm.
and they put them in that circular design? Like, what the heck does that mean? I don't know what that symbol is. They never really explained it. They didn't like explain too much about the Children of the Forest. And so that's why, because they're keeping it, all of that stuff, for the prequel.
Well,
and we'll learn more about that.
Totally. And it's very similar to the look of the Targaryen symbol. Like when you see Dany's symbol at the end, mm-hmm. where she has her huge banner up, it's almost very similar to that same circular. Did you notice
that's
that?
True.
That same.
That's
so yeah, my husband pointed that out. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some sort of tie in with the Targaryens and the Night King.
Okay. Okay. See, I will totally watch it. I mean, I'm going to watch it anyway. I have to tell you, Gianna, you're the one that got me addicted on this.
You're welcome.
It's all your fault. Because remember, I think we were 5 seasons in already, and I was not watching it at all. And then you started explaining it to me, and I had some time. What, did I get sick? Or I was on maternity leave? I don't even know what it was. And I just like, oh, let me just go on one episode and see what everybody's so, you know, excited about. And I totally fell in love with this. So, yeah, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I have ignored my family every Sunday.
So have I.
Hour and a half. I'm like, don't come in here. I'm locking the door and you are not allowed to interrupt.
Oh, yeah. The house shuts down on Sundays at 6 o'clock when it's time to watch Game of Thrones. Everyone. I'm like, quiet on the set. That's what I say. I walk down quiet on the set. TV's coming on. Nobody talk to me. I'm focused.
Exactly. So what do you think about all this backlash? I mean, there's even this, I don't know if you've seen it, but this petition going around. And like hundreds of thousands of people have signed it so far to get the producers to do something different. That kind of stuff drives me crazy because they're not going to change it. It is what it is. It's the end now. And everybody needs to accept what's happened and what's been written. And that's it. Either you like it or you don't. But I mean, come on.
It's never going to happen. They're never going to rewrite or redo an episode. It is what it is. It's their decision. They have, you know, creative license, and we just kind of have to live with the outcome. And again, I think that's why we've got the books coming, that final book that's supposed to be released here pretty soon. We can sort of see how, you know, the writer, the original writer of the series who created Game of Thrones, how he kind of puts everything to rest. So, I mean, I think it's funny how people are in such an uproar because, you know, you go get a job as a writer then. You go make your own.
Right.
You know, like it is what it is. Like, we don't make those decisions. They do. You're not happy, then you're not happy. I don't think they have, after today's episode, I can't imagine that they're still feeling that way because it all kind of came together. It's just there were a few hiccups in this last season. And I think a lot of it is because there was no book to follow. They didn't have character. They didn't have, you know, all of that to sort of like go by, which they've had throughout most of the seasons. Not everything's exactly like the book, but they did have some guidelines and sort of a roadmap to follow. And they could sort of, you know, branch off to how they saw fit to make it interesting for fans who followed the book. But I don't know. I think people just like to complain, and they're going to complain about it. Just like they complained about The Sopranos at the very end, which was one of the most genius endings ever. By the way, it's Miranda Richardson, to correct myself.
Okay, Miranda Richardson.
I was almost there. I was almost there, Michelle. I love your reaction. Like, no, she's
like,
not
no,
here.
She's not alive.
Go, Gianna.
Not that that's funny because I love her, but still, I'm not. Yeah, no. I do have to tell you, though, I admit, I did read, and this is the first time I've done this, I read before the episode, the last episode aired, I read the spoilers.
And oh, you did?
I did.
Michelle!
I know, because at that point, I just thought, what's going to ruin it? Because everything I thought was going to happen didn't happen. And, you know, you felt like a little, like, I don't know, what's the direction going? So for me, I just thought, well, it's not going to ruin anything for me if I just read these spoilers. Plus, you never know if they're true or not, right?
True.
So they had this detailed list of things that were going on. And one of the first things on the list was the dragon would be behind Daenerys when she's going to go address the crowd, and the wings make her look like she's a dragon. So when I saw that happen, I knew everything was true on that list. I saw that happen, and then when Tyrion threw his pin down on the ground, that was on the list of spoilers. And I thought, oh, man, Bran's going to be king. All right. So here's going in. They have to convince me that Jon is going to kill Daenerys, and they have to convince me that Bran is worthy of being king. And I was satisfied because they did. They convinced me. And I think Tyrion's speech convinced me, and his plea to Jon, and then Jon looking at, listening to Daenerys speak, and then looking at her in a way where he's just like, this woman's never going to stop. So she needs to be stopped now. So, but yeah, I did. I read the spoilers on this one. It's the first time I've done it. But I didn't know. I mean, I thought, you know, this could just be speculation. But no, they were pretty dead on.
So even having those spoilers, you still felt satisfied watching them.
I still did.
I mean, and yeah. I did. I love that moment though when the dragon's wings came out and you could see them behind Daenerys. I thought the same thing too. I was like, oh my god, like is she going to be all powerful dragon now? Like this is insane. Right. It was such a beautiful shot too. I was like, oh, that looks cool.
Beautiful. I want to give a shout out to the composers too, honestly, because that music is what really got me too in this last episode. Well, the whole season, the whole series, but especially this last episode, the music just made it so much more dramatic and emotional for me. And then, you know, the opening credits song was in the show.
I know. That was cool.
With a choir. I mean, it was amazing.
That was cool. I loved how they put that at the end. I was like, oh, that's nice. That was a nice touch for sure. Like that creativeness there too. Even in the battle scenes of episode 5, the music was so good. How it drove, you know, it like drove every scene, especially the music when it played when the Hound and his brother fell off the building into the fire, which I thought was very, very good ending for the Hound because number one, he takes his brother out. And number two, he dies fearing like within like encompassed by something, the thing he fears the most, which was fire, which was crazy. I was like, wow, that's just, I mean, that was pretty, I don't know, full circle and kind of beautiful how they made that happen. But
I really love that too.
The music was very, very cool.
Did you think Daenerys's death should have been longer?
Well,
she got no word out, no nothing. He just like stabbed her, which I loved. He did it while he kissed her. And then boom, she's just dead.
I think she was in shock. Like, you know, what could she have said at that point? But I think what they really like, you know, focused on was the dragon and his reaction and what he did to her. I thought that was very beautiful and how it related to Jon Snow, him being a Targaryen. So I don't know. I was okay with how she went out because I think at that point it just needed to happen. And, you know, I think it being quick and Jon feeling, and I think for there a moment there too, Jon regretted what he did because he was like, no. You know, he had that reaction because he wasn't, you know, I don't think he was totally sure about that decision. But I was okay with it because, I mean, what else would she have said at that end? You suck.
Yeah.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
You know nothing. Well, he knew something.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what else she could have said at the end. I mean, she.
Yeah, that's true.
And she.
I love you.
Yeah.
You know, you stabbed me.
And he said that, you know, he does profess his love to her and, you know, call her his, you'll always be my queen. When he said that, you will always be my queen, and he kissed her, I was like, ooh, this is going down.
Yeah, I know.
You knew that was going to happen.
Well, I was FaceTiming with my daughter during this whole thing. And so when he kissed her, she was like, are you kidding me? And I was about 10 seconds ahead of her. Well, not 10, but maybe like 30 seconds ahead of her. So I had already seen what happened. And she's like, are you kidding me? He's going to kiss her. And she goes, oh my god.
She's like, oh wait, okay.
Okay, wait. Okay, the kiss is okay.
She's like, this is a poisonous kiss, basically.
Basically, I know. I did like the moment at the end where Bronn and Tyrion and Davos and Brienne, where they're all together and they have that banter, because that's what I always loved about Game of Thrones. Yeah. There were always those little elements of humor, even in dark times, and it always kind of involved Bronn and Tyrion. Davos had a few moments too, but that little circle, that little meeting, it made me smile.
It did.
I love that. Yeah.
I love, even to the point where Tyrion was moving the chairs. Because if you recall, and I think it was maybe season 4, I can't even remember to be exact. Don't quote me on that, anyone, season 4. But there was that season where his dad was the Hand of the King, and they were all moving the chairs around to be like closer to him and more, you know, where Tyrion was kind of off to the side when he was brought in. You know, so I love that scene, how he moved all the chairs around. So, and I thought him being Hand of the King again was very fitting, because Bran's whole, you're going to fix every mistake you ever made. Because he kind of sucked as Hand of the King at times. I'm like, he'd made some bad decisions for Daenerys. Just throwing it out there.
He did. But he acknowledged that. He said, I've made a lot of mistakes. And he's like, yep. And I just love that Bran makes it his punishment.
Totally.
And I get the reason why they had to send John, I guess, back to the wall, which I'm not convinced he's at the wall. I'm still convinced he went with the wildlings, but that they sent back to him, because that did make sense. If they keep him, that starts a war. If they execute him, that starts a war.
Yeah.
So it all made sense, but it was just, I don't know. It was just kind of sad that he had no part in any of that, which he didn't even want a part of that. So.
He didn't. And I think that's, and I think that was, that part was okay, that he didn't want to be king. He doesn't want to be a ruler. He wants to just be Jon Snow, a.k.a. Aegon Targaryen. But I still not totally stoked on the Night's Watch part. But maybe you're right. Maybe he's off to go be a wildling, because that's where he truly feels like he belongs. Maybe that's, maybe.
Because he did look back at the door, remember, as the door
was closing? Yeah, he did.
And he looked back at it, and maybe he's just like, all right, I'm done. I'm going to go be a wildling.
That's possible. And maybe maybe there's something to that that's going to come full circle in the prequel of, you know, the Night King being some sort of tie into the Targaryens, and how Jon Snow was a Targaryen but wants to be, you know, in that element sort of. Maybe there's some foreshadowing happening with this final episode with the prequel. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So,
I hope there is. I don't know. We're going to have all of our theories.
Well, you can be certain, everyone who's listening, that Michelle and I will be all over the prequel, no doubt.
Over it.
100%. Michelle, this was awesome. Thank you for wrapping up the season with us. Of course, I have Damon Bruce coming on as well, because he's just as big of a Game of Thrones fan as we are. So excited to hear his takes on everything. Yay. But got to dive into the books now.
Okay. Yes, I need to start reading it. I need to carve out some time, which, when do I have time for that?
I know, right?
That's what I do.
That's my midnight maternity leave feedings with my baby right now. It's like, I bust out my Audible and listen if I can't really like hold the book and read it at the time. But yeah, that's kind of how I'm getting caught up on everything.
Okay. I might have to borrow some from you.
Sounds good.
I think this last episode redeemed the whole season.
I think it did too. I agree with you.
Already here. Yeah.
I totally agree with you there. I think I'm not totally unsatisfied, not completely satisfied, but enough so where I feel like I got closure. And that's, I think, the best. That's how, if you can end a series of a hugely beloved popular show where you feel like you got closure and everyone had an ending that was like done, then you're like, okay, I'm good. We know where everyone ends up. I'm good.
And I do love it, because you mentioned Sopranos. It's like, yeah, that was genius, because it kept everyone talking, because you're like, did he die, did he not? And everything's left up in the air. This one, I mean, there's a definitive answer as to who's the king, who's the ruler, and what happens to most of the characters.
Yeah.
So I kind of liked it, because there was no question. There was none of that. You've seen the movie Inception, where at the end you're just like,
I know. That's the worst ending.
What is it?
Totally.
At least there wasn't this at the end.
No.
So I like it.
You did get closure for sure, which was good. And I kind of wanted that. I will miss my Jon Snow every Sunday, though.
I know. He's so cute.
God, whatever you do next, Kit Harington, I'm on board.
I am totally going to watch it because I love him to death. I just think he's good. He's a good actor. And, very, very cute.
Just a little. Just
a little, but you know, I think Peter Dinklage, I think he deserves every word because he is just an amazing, amazing actor. And he blew me away this last episode.
Oh, yeah. He's no doubt one of the best actors out there for sure. And he was so cast so perfectly as that role in that show. And I know it was, you know, a specific character he needed to be, which he was in real life to a certain extent physically. Yeah. But he just encompassed the role like no other on that show. And I think even Cersei was amazing. Lena Headey, I think her name is. She was phenomenal. Everyone, even Sansa. I mean, Sophie Turner's fantastic. Like they just, all the cast was so perfect. There was never one person where I'm like, why would you cast that person as that person? Even after reading the books, you can picture them as these people, which was so good on the creators.
Speaking of, real quick before we go, Robin Aaron. He's cute.
Yeah, he kind of grew into his own, didn't he?
He grew into his own. It's like, okay, hello. Who are you?
It took me a second to be like, who is that? But you did have him, and then you had the kid from Dorne who was betrothed to Lannister, girl. What was her name? Marcella. Yes, so you had him there as well, and you saw how they all have grown. Which was cool. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's cool. Because I thought about that. I was like, whatever happened to the kid from the Eerie?
Right.
You know, you kind of had those thoughts. And you're like, oh, wow, look at that. Because where were they during the battles and things like that? So.
Well, he was probably attached to his mom. Oh, no, wait, she died.
So. She died. Again. Yes, she did.
So that was creepy.
That was creepy. He was all 7 years old and still on the boob. I was like, that's not normal. Boob.
No, not at all.
But what is in the Game of Thrones?
Exactly, exactly. Oh my gosh, we're just going to be talking about this forever. I think you're right. This is the best show on television I've seen. And I was totally addicted to shows like Sex and the City and things like that. This tied me up more than any of them.
Me too. Me too, 100%. That's why I'm so looking forward to the prequel and anything else that's coming out of that whole like realm and genre. I hope The Watchmen is, I think that's one of the next HBO shows that are coming out that's supposed to have a lot of buzz surrounding it where people might get their fix. Because I did like The Watchmen comic book series. I don't know if it's series. I only read the one book, but it's pretty good. So I'm hoping that will sort of satisfy my Sunday nights until the prequel of Game of Thrones comes out, the next series. But yeah, it's hard to find a show you fall in love with. It really is. Right. And that stays true for the most part, the whole, every single series or season. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like The Walking Dead, which I love, but they totally jumped the shark like two seasons ago. And I have a hard time. I'm wrapping it up because I just feel like I have to.
Yeah, thanks, Gianna. You got me into that one, too.
And I'm sorry for these last final seasons, seriously, because they suck. But you didn't have those Game of Thrones.
And I'm with you on that. So I'm more disappointed in the way that's ending up than Game of Thrones ever disappointed me. So, yeah, Walking Dead, yeah, you totally got me into that, and then I stopped liking it after a while. I haven't even watched the last season.
Me neither, because they jumped the shark. They jumped the shark. And you can't do that. Yeah. Like once, like you need to shut down a show when it's time. I think Game of Thrones at least had another season left, but whatever, to each their own. It's expensive. I get it, HBO.
Right.
But they did it. They go out on top, which I'm good with. I'm like, okay, I'm good. I feel good about it.
I'm with you on that.